This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
In Phoenix was to just stay healthy. Turner sends that one the other way, down for a base hit in front of Oscar Gonzalez. Second knock of the inning for the Cubs, so Justin Turner's first AB in that blue and red. It's an opposite field single.
Undefeated, never lost.
That's the Chicago Cubs, 5-0. 5-0 in the Cactus League, my friend. And you are saying, well, it doesn't matter. It's emblematic of an improved roster.
I'm not saying it doesn't matter. I just think it's 5-0. It's a good start. It doesn't mean a lot in the big picture, but it does mean you're making a little bit of progress. So I think you look for little signs. You see some good pitching. You see Alcantara right now making a very strong first impression this spring. And Justin Turner, in his first appearance as a Cub, gets two hits and a walk. He just falls out of bed hitting. And you like that if you are the Cubs and you worry about your bench depth and you believe that this year's bench depth is better than last season. I'd much rather them go to Justin Turner in a pinch than Dustin's guy, Miles Mastroboni. No disrespect, but now he's a Seattle Mariner. But I think you're in a better shape now with veterans who are in those roles, and maybe Craig Counsell will feel better about using all 26 men on his roster. And Turner is one of those good guys to have. And the better he hits, the better they look for adding him and pivoting away from the post-Bregman phase of spring training.
It's interesting. At this point, Atlanta and Philadelphia are 0-2 in the Grapefruit League, and the White Sox are the only winless team in the Cactus League at 0-3. Cubs are 5-0, as we know. The Royals, 3-0. Those are the only two unbeaten teams in the Cactus League. The Grapefruit League, you got Detroit, Pittsburgh, and Toronto, and Washington, all 2-0. And I believe Houston, nope, it's Miami's 1-0. How about that?
It's good to win those games. I don't think it means much.
Oh, come on. I'm trying to help.
You don't have to help me.
I'm going through the standings of the Cactus League
and
the Grapefruit.
I know we just did that. Grapefruit and Cactus. Got the differences there. Kind of fun. Especially when you're 5-0. Kind of silly.
The winningest team in all of baseball.
Yesterday, seeing Matthew Boyd pitch also made you think that
another guy can help.
If he can stay healthy, and that's been the big problem, if he can stay healthy, then you really are intrigued by what he's capable of doing. He's got great stuff. His pitch sequencing, which he talked about after his performance, is one of the things that he really knows how to talk pitching. And when you look at the rotation, it's, you know, gone are the days where you have one through five, and those guys give you as many innings as they can. But Matthew Boyd is somebody that is definitely, I don't want to say an upgrade, but it feels like he's in the Drew Smyly role, I suppose, a guy who can be used in a variety of ways, a dependable guy who has been there and done that. And you feel good about him if he can stay healthy. So the Cubs have a lot of guys like that. I like the way that they've added to their bullpen in terms of veterans. Also, much like I was saying with the depth and the position players, experience matters. And I think they've got some.
Well, I think that their bullpen is significantly better. And if that's the case, then they're going to do so much better. It's going to be crazy. So I think that what was the prediction for them? 91 wins. Mm-hmm. I think that's in their range. I think they could be that team. I don't know that there's another team in the division that scares you in any way. I think that the closest to it is probably Milwaukee. Always finds
the Brewers
a way.
Always do.
Always
the
finds
Brewers
a way.
Always will.
But they took a step backward. Mm-hmm. Whether we want to admit that or not, and I think the Cubs may have taken a step forward.
So Justin Turner, I guess we'll talk through this because it's probably something silly, but you have to kind of think out loud here. So Matt Shaw has yet to do anything in spring training.
Yes. Well, he's actually taken some batting practice.
He's not to do anything in a game.
Yes.
He's not really played
That's
yet.
Right.
We have yet to see the guy who we're counting on, by we, the collective Cub fandom, I suppose, the Cubs are counting on to play the majority of the time at third base, the starting third baseman.
Your starting third baseman is a young guy that has an oblique injury that is only taking batting practice and has not a timetable as to when he will actually be on the field.
I think Justin Turner got here 5 minutes ago. He's probably still unpacked.
Yeah.
He's still kind of in transit, and yet he's got two hits and a walk. And you know that you can count on that dependability. He's going to be serviceable. He hasn't played third base in the last couple of years. He's not here to play third base.
Yes.
But I just projecting because this is Chicago. And we do know sometimes things you count on don't always come through. What happens if Matt Shaw gets off to a slow start?
Well, we know who the names are. I mean, but if Matt Shaw isn't on this team, if he's incapable of playing, if he's injured, if you determine that he's come back too late and he doesn't have enough time and he'll have to go to Iowa first, whatever it might be,
mm-hmm.
He will eventually be your starting third baseman. But we know the names, you know, whether it's Gage Workman, whether it's the utility guy that they're talking about moving there. Josh Brea, what's his name?
Birdie,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Birdie. Yeah.
That's the name I couldn't reach. But we know who they are. We just don't know how they hold up as the regular third baseman.
What did you think yesterday when we heard
fill that position?
Cole Wright, who was out in Arizona for a week, and he works for the Marquee Sports Network, as we know. But one of the guys he referenced without being poked or prodded was Gage Workman.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a Gage Workman guy.
He's workmanlike.
He likes workmen.
He likes a lot of dudes and cats on that team.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
I love that.
We got a text to that.
To that extent
yesterday. Yeah, he does like a lot of dudes and cats on that team. I was surprised he said Gage Workman. He's somebody we forget about, and I didn't even mention when I'm referencing what to do without Matt Shaw until he gets healthy. If he starts slow,
that's a guy that can hit a little bit. He's a Rule 5 guy, so you get to claim him, and then he's yours until you throw him off the big league team, and then he goes.
He has to go back to Detroit.
Yes, so that makes
that's such an odd rule.
It's a very strange rule.
That's such a strange.
It is.
The Rule 5, we could do an entire segment on that, and I'm sure everybody would be riveted.
But
I just wonder, do you have to keep him if you don't cut him?
Well,
and are you more likely to keep him because of the fact you'd have to give him back?
Because that is who did they cut? They had to cut an outfielder who was signed by the Mets yesterday. Who was the
Alex Canario.
Alex Canario. My God.
How could you forget Alex Cannara? You wanted the White Sox to swoop in.
I wanted the White Sox to swoop in.
You wanted him to be swooped in by the White Sox.
The Mets took him because the Mets have got some injuries. He might end up in a better position than he was here in Chicago.
He could, because it might not be as blocked.
Exactly.
By the way, speaking of the Mets, a quick diversion. Did you see what happened to Nick Madrigal? Oh God, I feel terrible for him. Broken shoulder. First week of spring training. He's already out.
Yeah.
Feels bad.
What was he, a fifth overall pick or something?
I think it was fourth overall from Morgan State.
That's the White Sox. Then he went to the Cubs.
I know the career injured path.
I'm just
everybody in Chicago is.
He was injured with the White Sox.
Yep.
So they let him go to the Cubs. They traded him to the Cubs. He was injured with the Cubs. Now he's in the Mets and he's injured again. I mean, he's one of these guys, great, bat on ball guys. It's just not a
two
big
strikes.
Enough. But he's not a big enough. The fact that he's gotten injured in the way he has makes you feel like that he might be a little overwhelmed by the game.
Which is odd to say, because there are a lot of little guys that succeed, or little-ish guys that succeed in Major League Baseball. I mean, saying too big for the game, it makes it sound like he's doing the tush push. He's not. It's not a physical sport.
Was he diving to slide to a base?
But
or
he was diving. I mean, you dive. Yeah. Little guys can dive.
Yeah, but
it's not violent.
But elder gentlemen like yourself shouldn't be diving.
Wow. Now I'm elderly.
Well, you're an elderly gentleman.
I'm an elderly gentleman.
You're not a little guy.
Okay. I felt bad. I'm sorry for the brief
aside
there.
No, that's okay.
I feel bad for Nick Madrigal.
Yeah, we should talk about guys like him.
He's a guy that was always accommodating.
Lovely fella.
Yeah.
Good man.
But I just felt bad for him yesterday. That was bad news out of Mets camp. But you referenced the Mets because Alex Canario.
They signed him. Because they have injuries.
And they have injuries. And also the Cubs let him go because of emergence of guys like Kevin Alcantara.
The Cubs let him go. This was the point I was trying to make. Because he's out of options.
Out of options.
So if he doesn't make the team, if he's not going to make the team, then he's superfluous to what you're doing. Workman is kind of the same way, only he goes to a different team. So he's kind of out of options. So either he makes your team and he's a part of it, or he's back in Detroit. That was kind of the point I was getting to. It's like a guy without options, and that's what you run into. The White Sox don't have much, but they have signed five major league outfielders. So if you don't have options, you don't have a place on the team.
Right. Do you think Gage Workman obviously would love to probably stay in Chicago, make an impression, but if he returns to the Tigers – that's a pretty good team.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
But he might not have a spot in
it. I don't know what their thinking was when they didn't put him on their 40-man, when they left him available for the Rule 5 draft. So I've always felt if you let a guy, you might really like a guy and think he can play, but if you let him, if other people will see that. If you make him available, you're going to lose him. So that means that he's blocked, and there are other players that they rate higher than him.
Mm-hmm.
So if he goes back to Detroit, I'm not sure.
He'll lose a lot of momentum.
I'm not sure he would play.
His career loses a lot of momentum. So hopefully he makes a team because he earned his way on the team as a good reserve. The Cubs have a really good
– they got a pretty deep team.
Bench situation. Yep. I'm looking forward to seeing the beginning of the Matt Shaw era at third base, though. I hope he can get, once he starts, he doesn't have a setback. He's won several young players. Okay. PCA continues to look good.
PCA looks great.
Amaya is a guy, and Michael
done
Bush.
All the guys you were worried about, other than the third baseman,
it's February 25th, okay? Chill out there.
I'm just saying that all the guys, when we would talk about the Cubs, you would say, I'm worried about these young players.
I'm going to continue to say that.
And you're not wrong. I'm just saying three of the four have done well. The one guy can't play.
he can't. He's not able to play yet.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. I hope he can play.
Well, I don't mean he can't play like he can't play.
Right. Right.
He just can't right now take part.
Yeah. So I think that it's early. They're off to good starts. PCA could be – I see a lot of these – spring training stories, whether it's on MLB.com or other national publications, other baseball writers. He is on a couple different lists for top breakout players of 2025.
I thought he kind of broke out at the end of last year. I thought you felt like you knew what he was. As I said, we talked to Cole Wright, and he talked about the power the guy has and how much stronger he is than you think. That's all great, but he's still a guy that if he can spray the ball to different parts of the field and get on base, he will wreak havoc. He is a very difficult guy to have on base because of his speed, and that's why he's such a good defensive player. It's his speed. So if he plays within himself a little bit, I think he would break out. But you worry that sometimes he gets a little showy with his defense. He likes to make a big play instead of the routine play, and you worry that he wants to hit the ball out of the park sometimes instead of just taking what he can get.
I think that's a good assessment. I still like him, you know, eventually at the top of the order. We'll see. And I'm going to continue to have some reservations about the four guys that I have mentioned his first time. Michael Bush was a regular last year. Amaya was a regular last year. Yep. But we're counting on them. The Cubs fans are counting on them like they are finished products. Maybe they are. But those are two of the four guys that I think you keep an eye on in that lineup on a daily basis.
And I'm worried about their boogeyman position.
Yeah.
Because about what happened last year. Think about the guys they went through. And they're all gone. And now you're kind of starting again, and you thought Matt Shaw was going to be the guy. He comes in, he's got an oblique injury, so you don't know who's going to be playing third base. And that is a terrible feeling, to be honest with you.
815 texts in and says, do you think the Cubs are pulling a Chris Bryant with Matt Shaw to start the clock later? No.
No.
I don't think it's anything to do with that.
No, I think it's his job if he's healthy and ready to go. And that pulling the Chris Bryant, they changed those rules.
Right.
There's no benefit for not getting him going.
This is nothing to do with service
time.
It has everything to do with him suffering a setback medically that you worry about a little bit, but it has nothing to do with his progress or stalled progress. You hope he's 100% ready to go when he does make his first start for the Cubs this spring.
In retrospect, how do you feel about the idea that Chris Bryant's career was damaged by that service time issue?
I don't look at it as that way.
Okay.
Maybe that's naive.
No, I'm just curious.
I think his career was damaged by the fact that he was traded. He left Chicago, and everything changed. Everything about his approach changed. He got into a rash of injuries, which maybe he would have run into here. But some guys benefit from a change of scenery. Some guys really do. Chris Bryant did not.
Yeah, he kind of went Jeremiah Johnson on the whole thing. He went to Denver and then climbed into the mountains and has been seen of very little since.
Before that, he was in San Francisco, and that trade got Caleb Killian and Alex Canario, I believe. Those are two of the guys in that deal. Killian is still with the Cubs. I think this is
He's
one of the group of pitchers, kind of 4A pitchers, guys who, as Ron Coomer might say, they got to take that next step. There's something in the way. There's always something in the way. So Caleb Killian, this is a big year for a guy like him. He's got to take that next step. We saw what happened with Canario. Canario was just good enough to be tantalizing, but he never really was the guy that you couldn't live without. So
out of options, out of Chicago. Psycho's in Westchester. Hey, Psycho, how are you, buddy?
Hey, guys, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, I got a great trade possibility. So if Jed Hoyer's listening, pick up the phone. He's under contract, making $11 million a year, just coming off of a rotator cuff surgery. Sandy Alcantara from Miami. I just saw him pitch the other day. He's up to 99 miles an hour, looking good. He's got, I think, 3 more years on his contract, and he could throw heat. The Cubs don't got any guys who could throw heat. This would be, I would think, a number one for the Cubs.
Why would the Marlins trade him?
What's that?
Why would the Marlins trade him?
Come on. That team stinks. You know that as much as me, Dave. I mean, that team's not going nowhere. And you know what? They could get something for him. The Cubs got some prospects, and they're looking for young youth. Hey, the Cubs got some prospects. Let's get a number one pitcher for a change.
Sandy Alcantara is an ace. He's their ace. He's making his fifth straight opening day start for the Marlins, or scheduled to, unless the Cubs trade for him. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think they would trade him.
Yeah.
He's all they got.
We're playing fantasy baseball.
Yeah. He's all they got. I don't think the Cubs, the Dylan Cease rumors have died down somewhat. I think this is
They're
a
not
team.
Trading him right now.
This is a team you're going into Japan with. This is a team that you are going to take on the Dodgers in Japan. This is a team you're traveling abroad with.
That is just such a funny comment. This is the team you're going to Japan with. I love it. That's so much fun. The Japan thing's going to be great. And by the way, you can continue to listen, and you will win, or you'll have a chance to win a seat in our studio. You can come in and watch the game with us at 5 o'clock in the morning.
5 o'clock in the morning. We'll be here, Cubs and Dodgers in Tokyo, March 18th. We'll be in the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. Stick around for a special broadcast. Special broadcast of our show?
Well, we're going to do a post game, I guess.
Okay, the post game.
Yes.
All brought to you by the Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all. So we're following Zach.
Yeah, and then Dustin will stand up and entertain the crowd for a few minutes.
The pregame
bring
show?
Bring everyone into – yeah, he does like a little kind of – it's almost.
Well, I already asked if we're allowed to throw peanut shells on the floor like we're at a game that has TBD.
It's that sort of funny joking.
He's going to do it like he does on the pregame show.
He'll do the warm-up.
Yeah.
Good morning. Good here.
Good morning, Chicago!
And then we'll be on.
Don't you love that when he says that in the morning? Doesn't it get you going?
I love.
Is that a pretty good imitation there?
I love to turn on the radio. I know the exact time.
I know.
And listen to Dustin's open.
Yeah, it's great.
I love that.
Just wait. We might start playing that instead of me saying it moving forward.
Then I got to do a better job of imitating you.
He's so mean. All right. We've got Mark Brody. We're going to head down to Indy. And we're going to bring in the great Grody.
Awesome.
We're going to criticize his basketball game, but we're going to talk football. And we'll do that next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, Grody, you guard him because, you know, you wouldn't have to worry so much.
Oh, my God. That is unbelievable. Grody gets
I doubt Grody's listening. He's getting fired on.
Grody's getting killed.
I love Grody.
Grody.
I love Grody.
Well, the very fact that he humiliated himself at the United Center tells you why I didn't
he
play.
He did not humiliate himself. He actually acquitted himself quite well.
You're making fun of him.
I'm just teasing him because I would do it in front of him, too.
It's Grody time, and that means it's time for Mark Grody with Mully and Haw.
Bears.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We're heading down to Indy, where we find our man. He does a great job covering the Bears. It is Mr. Mark Grody. He does a great job at everything, except, apparently, according to Mr. David.
No, not apparently.
Your basketball game, I believe the polite term was needs work.
I don't think so, Mark. I think
it's Mully and Haw, and Mark joins us on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire at Aturo.com.
Morning, Mark.
I should have taken the conditioning program seriously. I did not. My off-season program was poor, and it showed up. What I realized about playing full court basketball, that is if you don't play full court basketball competitively for say like a decade, it doesn't go particularly well. But I did not fall flat on my face like David Haw.
That's true. Well played, Mark Grody. You're right. You did not go down hard as I did.
I was 0 for 4 from the field. I was short on the shots. I was tired. I'm going to be more ready next year. I'm going to be in the best shape of my life next
year. Looking forward to it.
You should run 3 miles a day, and then you'd be in great shape. You'd be ready to dive on the floor.
Did that work, Haw?
No, it did not work. It did not work very well at all. I still am sore from that fall, but yeah.
It's so funny how everybody in the world works out, you know, these days, but it's a different animal when you're sprinting back and forth and you're cutting and you're jumping. Like, Bergamini's out there, and she's probably about in good shape as anybody out there, and she's dying, and she's like, well, I do all this workout stuff. That ain't the workout you need to do for full court basketball. So we all learned a lesson.
Did you at least take some shots? I mean, did you like?
I did. I was 0 for 4, Molly.
I'm saying beforehand.
Oh, yeah. We had to punch you around.
No, I'm saying like a day, a week before.
Oh, right,
did you not
man.
Spend
I,
like
I
a week
did.
Docking down jumpers?
The gym to which I belong, yes. That's what I'm saying. Like, okay. My shot looked pretty good when I was just standing around in the gym and playing like games of 21 with other middle-aged men. It was really good. But not at the UC necessarily. But it was a blast.
No doubt about it, Mark.
So today's the big day, Mark. You got both of the leaders of the team, the main leader, Ben Johnson, and then his acolyte, will also speak, Ryan Poles. Who are you more interested in?
Honestly, I think I'm a little bit more interested in, obviously it's at a 10 for both, but maybe just a little bit, maybe a 10 plus for Ryan Poles, because what I want to know, gentlemen, when I'm trying to figure out what I think none of us really knows exactly, is what the level of collaboration that is going to exist between Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles. And my question specifically for Ryan Poles would be, is it going to be different than it was for your predecessor? Obviously, the Ben Johnson's predecessor, Matt Eberflus, where, yes, there was collaboration and they talked about it, but will Ben Johnson have more power and more say in what the Bears start to do right now? And that is free agency coming up in a couple of weeks, and obviously we start to talk about the draft while we are here. So I'm very interested in that. I'm also interested from Ryan Poles how he's going to break this down. You have tremendous cap space. You have a pretty decent pack of draft picks, including a first rounder at number 10 overall and those 2 second round picks, which I love that the Bears have. So there's that. And then I guess top of mind too, business wise, guys, is, you know, what let's hear what Ryan Poles has to say about what it means that DeMarcus Walker was released. Mm-hmm. And then to a lesser degree, of course, Gerald Everett. That one you can see coming. But the Walker one, I think, was fairly significant in terms of what is to come for the Bears in terms of space and what they thought of him, and that they sort of admit that he wasn't the guy with his 3.5 sacks in each of the last 2 years.
Mark, one of the fun things about the Combine is getting to hear from a lot of the prospects that you read about or hear from, you know, in different interviews at their respective colleges. But this is up close and personal. Is there anybody on your list? Do you have a list of guys who you are intrigued by and looking forward to hearing from?
I do. You know, I have become at this moment, and I think that it's okay for people to this early change their minds on things because nothing has happened. Free agency happens before the draft. And again, we'll be talking a lot about the draft throughout this week. But as far as defense, I'm looking at defensive linemen. I will definitely make the podium call for Mason Graham of Michigan. I'm interested in him. And I guess while I'm there doing Michigan things, maybe Kenneth Grant of Michigan. These are defensive linemen, guys that could potentially play the three tech spot. I like, this is not particularly original, I think, but like everybody else, I'm interested in Abdul Carter, the defensive end, to a lesser degree, James Pierce, the DE out of Tennessee. So those are guys. You know, one of the things too that I would like to try to start to find out from Ben Johnson, if possible today, I don't know, you know, how appropriate it is to figure out what his lean is for the draft. But one of the things we know about Ben Johnson from his Detroit days, that he was on a staff which was not afraid to take best player available. So could that be at number 10 to get something crazy like Ashton Jeanty, the running back, or a skill position guy in general? So I want to start to get some of the signs as it comes to that. But those are just some of the guys, Haw, that I would say that I'm interested in looking. And there'll be many guys along
your
the
homework.
Way. I mean, that's just, look, that's just the surface right there, man. Once we get these packets and we go in deep on these guys, hopefully find some hidden gems and some interesting personalities and characters out here at the Combine.
Abdul Carter, one of the really interesting stories of the Combine already, because he's announced that he's not going to be working out. He's not going to be able to work out because he has a shoulder injury that he suffered against Boise. It's his left shoulder, and apparently he played through it against Notre Dame, and I don't know if they've had a surgical fix on it. I'll be very curious. He says he's going to interview with teams. Will he be going through all of the kind of medicals that we're interested in? And I mean, that's why you're there. I mean, that is, it's the proximity of hospitals to the convention center is the reason they have it at Indy. And it'll be he apparently has a sprained AC joint. So he can't, you know, this guy can lift a house over his head. He's a great athlete. He can't do all that stuff. He says March 28th, he'll do it at Penn State. Just, I'm very curious because he not only could be the first defensive player taken, but the first player taken. And if he has a medical issue and falls, I would definitely take him at number 10.
And he is a guy, you know, it's still possible that Abdul Carter will talk to us, although not work out. So I'll distinguish those two things. We get to talk to these guys and then they work out. But I think that, yeah, you're right, Molly. I think that he is a guy that if he drops a little bit or if he is injured, like he is that good that you still take this guy. And he's one of these guys that I will ask about. I will ask about here in the hallways for people who are on Twitch right now. You can see in the background that I'm in one of these massive convention center hallways right now. People walking behind me, and you just never know who you're going to run into and talk to. So Abdul Carter will be one of those guys that I will be asking people if he's just an absolute slam dunk. Take him no matter what. But we've seen him play, obviously, in the college football playoffs and throughout his season, and he does just seems like a really good prospect.
Are you, even though the Bears have their quarterback, are you interested in who throws, who doesn't, what guy makes a run, Quinn Ewers is going to throw and try to make an impression? Are you caught up in any of that, Mark?
Not really. This is the first time in a while that I was just thinking about this right before we came on, that I haven't really been doing much research on the quarterbacks this year because it's the first year in 3 years that the Bears don't have the number one overall pick, and we're not talking about either trading the number one pick to get Caleb Williams and then last year getting Caleb Williams.
It might only affect the Bears at 10 by who's available if there are two or three quarterbacks taken before they're on the board, or maybe just one. I think none of them seem like they're top 10 worthy.
Yeah.
But I do wonder how much the buzz will be created. There's always a created
but there is top 10 need
prospect, yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, and I'll look forward to seeing that, David. Like the group, the massive crowd, the always, no matter who the quarterback is. I mean, I remember a few years ago, you know, pre-Caleb Williams year, there was barely anybody worthwhile in terms of like the big names from a few years ago, but still it will garner a crowd, and that's definitely something that I will continue to track. Does this mean that, are you coming off the Bajency here, Haw? Are you saying that the Bears need a better backup than the Bajency?
I am not closing the Bajency. I would not be in favor of a rookie to challenge the Bajency.
You never stop trying to get a quarterback. It doesn't matter if you have one or not.
You do. You keep that
door open. Yeah, but once you're in the Bajency, in the Bajency, Haw, don't you stay in the Bajency? Or Molly, don't you want
to? I mean, honest to God, I think the whole point of the NFL is to get quarterbacks, develop them, and trade them for more. That's where if you can get to that position, buddy, you're laughing.
Molly, if the Bears are doing things differently, like that's another thing too. Like we're all still hearing the light applause in the background for Ben Johnson and what has happened, and we're all like, okay, it's great. This is another week. Let's hear if we continue to hear the right things, if there's indication that this organization is continuing to head in a different and better direction, and I'll be listening for signs of that throughout this
week. Exactly what you need. You got to know, what is his player profile? How does he like these guys? I want a Penny Sewell. Well, unfortunately, we don't have any of those at the offensive line store. But you want to know what type of player they like. I'm thinking about defensive tackles. Are they looking for a three technique type guy, or are they looking for more size in the middle of their defense? They're changing this defense, so the player profile changes.
You want that, but Mark, I want you to find out all you can about Will Campbell.
There you go.
Okay.
You've got it. Mark, I want you to measure his arms against yours.
You're right about three technique too, Molly. I mean, really, I mean, Justin Jones was nice here for a couple of years with the Bears. And then, you know, quite frankly, I think the play that Justin Jones brought was better than that of Jervon Dexter so far. So unless they think that, you know, they can turn this thing around and get him to another level, then I would not be surprised if the Bears were tinkering around. Walter Nolan out of Ole Miss, another guy to look at in that regard. Yeah, I'm just name dropping today.
That's what we like to do. Yeah, great stuff.
That's what it's all about.
I also want to know, what was my question for Ben Johnson? How long until the Bears become the number one offense in the NFL, Ben?
That's true. I'm going to give him, you know, what if I pose it this way? Okay, Ben, if I set the over-under at 5 games in terms of you getting this offense, is it over or under on that?
Don't let him push you around, Grody.
Yeah.
You establish your ground.
Yes. Let him know who you are.
Another thing about Ben Johnson, too, that I want to learn, too, and I guess this will come from Ryan Poles, and I think about this, like I always use the analogy to Craig Counsell. Okay, so you've got this, you know, best coach, potentially, or at least paid like one of the best coaches in the league. how much can Ben Johnson come in and say, here's the roster you have. Can you make these guys better? Can you make DeAndre Swift better? Or do we need to go out there with a third rounder or a fifth rounder, go out and get a running back? Like, can you Ben Johnson mold these things, or do you have to have the top-notch talent in order to work with? So that's another thing that we'll try to figure out.
Great questions.
Yep, you're all ready. See? You're
good
ready
list.
To go.
I'm already, man.
You are ready to go.
Yep, he's done
I'm
his
warm-ups.
I'm
glad we had this conversation.
Yep, that's great.
You did. No, seriously, this is good. This is a good wake-up. I got my coffee here. I'm going to make the walk over to the JW Marriott Starbucks now and hang out and wait for Ryan Poles and see who I run into. Because as you guys know, it's just a cat. Last year in the getting to Starbucks, it was Sean Payton that was present right behind me in the line at Starbucks.
I saw Sean Payton was at the Colts, or excuse me, the Nuggets game last night. And he was saying great things about the Joker. Did you see that?
Keep an eye out for Big Z in the hallways. You know, he's lurking somewhere.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm looking behind. Oh, yeah, Big Z, he runs these hallways.
He's lurking.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, he's got the VIP hallway.
When you're zigging, he's zagging.
You're the best, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, buddy. We love you dearly.
Same. Bye, guys.
That is Mark Grody getting the job done down in Indy. Could be a lot of fun today. A lot of Bears stuff.
It's always fun because the – Combine is just there's going to be a story that emerges that maybe you don't expect.
It's
always something.
We'll find out
NFL.
who's got to go back to because some arrest warrant came up, or who was found with
let's hope not
some kind of gas mask on.
Let's hope not.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 and Score.
There's gonna be a lot of questions on the draft process.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the general manager, Ryan Poles, of the Chicago Bears. He will be speaking at 9 a.m. this morning in Indianapolis. We will get you everything that he says before we get out of here in the final hour. So hopefully we hear from him. He says that there's a lot of questions about the draft process. He'll be open to a lot of questions today. We'll find out what he says, and we'll give it to you directly.
Fewer than in previous years. This is the first time in three that the Bears aren't going to Indianapolis with that number one overall pick, which made them the subject of a lot of scrutiny, certainly the center of attention in the last several combines. This year, drafting 10th, this biggest story about the Chicago Bears is not the draft pick, it's the new coach.
And he'll be talking at noon.
He talks at noon, and I think that's the one that you that's the main event. Ryan Poles is maybe the opening act at 9. And so we'll find out what he has to say, how much he will reveal. My sense is probably very little. You never know with him. But he does have more cap space than he did last week after the two moves on Friday. They've got as much cap space that I think the fourth most cap space of any team in the league. And they should be, according to Kevin Warren's letter to season ticket holders, aggressive in free agency.
Well, let me ask you about that, because I think we have an example in town of a guy that's under pressure to win, that is out of contract and has to figure out what he needs to get done and how is he going to get it done. That's Jed Hoyer. We are wondering how good the Cubs could be. Is it playoffs or bust? Do we apply that same logic or that similar pressure to a guy like Ryan Poles? Maybe there's a pick six question, but when you look at Jed versus Ryan Poles, are they both on the same timeline in terms of do something like impress your new boss, Ben Johnson, or you're out?
I don't think so. I really don't think so. I think Ryan Poles received a reprieve when Ben Johnson was hired. And the fact that he was still around when Ben Johnson was hired answered that question. It's a good one, because what we know of the contract, it seems like it's 1 or 2 years, whatever the case may be. I don't think that he's entering the final year of his tenure. I just don't think that anything that could happen, and I don't say anything, we all know that's foolish to suggest that, but it's unlikely that he's going to face any kind of job jeopardy in the next year.
See, that's fascinating because, you know, he probably was in job jeopardy at the end of the previous year.
Yes.
And he was never in job jeopardy, as it turned out.
As it turned out, he was, because he's, Kevin Warren has identified Ryan Poles as his guy. He is the pupil that he wants to mentor. And I do think that he wants to groom him into being a top flight general manager. So he's going to give him a second chance. This is his second chance. So he's closer to an extension than he is to getting fired.
That, let me tell you something. That is an excellent answer, but one that we really need to pick apart a little bit. Right? I mean, don't we need to – I think that the same pressure that's on Jed should be on Ryan Poles.
We'll talk about that when we get back.
Yeah, we'll do that next. We'll have to discuss that a little bit. And maybe it's unfair. Maybe it's unfair to put anybody in under that kind of a microscope, but you feel like – he needs to know exactly what the coach wants and go out and get it and be able to find the players that fit the profile that the coaching staff is telling him.
It won't affect his drafting, and I don't think it'll affect his free agent approach.
Okay. All right. That's very interesting. We got to get into that a little bit. 312-644-6767. Should it impact what he's going to do in the offseason or what he's going to do in the draft? That's the question. Mullion Hall on the score.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.